You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
Doom, doo, 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 doo.
Hi, plant people. Welcome to episode 15 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Plant friends, thank you for taking the time to tune in today. I am so excited to round out Friendship February for Bloom and Grow Radio with a two-part series featuring the two founders of the super famous Planty Instagram account and Etsy shop, The Houseplant Club. The two founders of this Planty powerhouse, Morgan of the Instagram account Planting Pink, who is featured in this episode, and Erin of the well-known blog and Instagram account Clever Bloom on next week's episode, actually met and became friends through sharing a Pilea peperomioides plant. How many people do we know with that story? It's so funny. How perfect to feature them and their plant friendship IRL for the second half of Friendship February. Oh yeah. Before we get into this wonderful plant chat and get to a big announcement for Houseplant Club, I wanted to let you in on a little announcement of my own. To celebrate Friendship February coming to an end and to celebrate all of the wonderful stories of friendships you guys have been sharing with me, I have organized an epic giveaway for you. The giveaway will be taking place on Instagram, so go ahead, hop over to Instagram and follow me at Bloom and Grow Radio. We have some amazing prizes from some of my plant friends who are participating and contributing things like a Pilea plant and a Pilea baby friendship kit from Peep from the last episode, a juicy gift card from The Sill, and Soltech Solutions, one of the companies I talked about on my grow light episode from earlier this month, is actually contributing one of their amazing and kind of expensive grow lights. You do not want to miss out on this giveaway. It's your chance to have your very own Pilea and goodies from The Sill and a badass plant lamp and some other cool things too. So anyways, stay tuned on Instagram for that. Okay, back to today's episode. First up this week in our Houseplant Club series, we get to know Morgan of Planting Pink and how her personal collection and Planting Pink Instagram account came to be. Morgan is an expert on growing popular planty Instagram accounts, with Houseplant Club circling around 300,000 followers and Planting Pink circling around 62,000 followers. And we are so lucky because she's given us a tutorial today on how to curate and grow our own plant-themed Instagram accounts. I'm also so excited that the ladies of Houseplant Club have trusted me and Bloom and Grow Radio to host a major announcement for their brand and company in this very episode. So get ready. Listen in for her tips and this exciting announcement. Welcome, Morgan. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, I'm so excited. It's going to be fun.
Yay. So excited to have both you and your plant friend IRL Erin in the show for Friendship February.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what she has to say, too.
So fun. So before we get into that and your friendship and Houseplant Club, why don't we talk about the creation of your personal collection of plants and kind of how your Instagram Planting Pink came to be?
Okay, let's see. So a few years ago, my husband and I moved from Michigan to North Carolina while he was finishing up his PhD. And living in Michigan was hard for somebody who saw herself as a green thumb even back then. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to keep a whole lot of plants.
Yeah, that's a really different climate.
It definitely is. Yeah, it's just a lot of gray skies for a lot of months of the year. Not to say that people in the Midwest and Michigan can't keep houseplants, because there's lots of great people up there doing it. Mm-hmm. But they might need some supplemental lights or just keeping different types of plants that I have now these days down here in Florida. Mm-hmm. So what happened was we moved from North Carolina to Florida, and as we kept moving more and more south, my plant collection kept growing. And once we landed here in Florida, I had more space and brighter sunlight and better plant selections at the plant store, local plant stores. And so I just started filling our house with the things that I really love. And around that same time, I didn't have any current social media accounts going, and I kind of wanted a creative outlet, so I created my Instagram account, and I think the first thing that I posted was my lipstick plant in my office. I just took a picture of it, and I think my caption was lipstick plant with a lipstick emoji, probably, because I'm big on emojis. And I think maybe I put a couple hashtags on there because I had seen a few people on Instagram that I already liked. They were just basically posting plants, and I thought that that could be a fun creative outlet for me, and that's basically how it started.
That's awesome. Did you were you always a green thumb? Like, did you grow up from a kid having plants in your house and that came in? Where did that love of plants initially start?
Yeah, my maternal grandmother and my mother both are big plant lovers, but being in Michigan, they had more stuff outdoors in the spring and summer, so they were big into wildflowers and landscaping. Mm. But yeah, we always had a plant or two indoors, and I just always remember going up to my grandmother's cabin, and we would sit out in her garden, and the hummingbirds would come, and it was just really magical for me. And so I guess it started outdoors, but I like to bring that indoors and interpret it my own way, I suppose.
That's amazing. And yeah, for some people who grow up having that beautiful outdoor experience and then living in a city and not being able to do that, that's like a natural progression for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. So your grandma and your mom.
Yeah.
And now when you're in Florida, you're lucky enough to have indoor and outdoor. I love your enormous you have a big monstera in your front yard, right? Or your backyard?
I do. It's right in the front of my house. It's in front of my dining room window. And I can see it when I walk up to the front door or from the inside of the house. I can look out, and it's a big, big plant. It was from a friend of mine, a start from his older plant. So it's already really mature, and the leaves that are coming up are, 3 to 4 feet long with perforations all over the place. So every time it's unfurling a new leaf, it's just a big to-do around our house.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember when I was in Florida. I've grown up in New York, so I'd never seen like a monstera in real life, or if I had seen one in a tropical environment before I was a plant lady, like I didn't know what it was. So I didn't, I couldn't appreciate it. And this year I was in Florida, and I was in a Publix, like a grocery store. And as we were walking out, there was this enormous monstera. And it was the first time I had seen one like outdoors, because I'd only seen them on people's Instagrams, or I don't even have one in my apartment, but in different coffee shops around the city, And I remember being so struck by seeing one in nature, not even nature, it's landscaped, but seeing one outdoors and how large it was. And I think I ran out in the rain to take photos of it.
I I mean, I still kind of squeal when I see them. In Tampa, they're not wild plants, so they're not native Tampa. But there are people who use them in landscaping. Mm-hmm. Mine is kind of in a guarded space in the front of my house. It's got brick on two sides, so it's pretty safe from harsh, you know, it can get pretty cold here in Tampa, mm-hmm. you know, down into the 40s at night in the winter, you know, only a couple times, but still.
Yeah.
But if you travel down to Miami, they are just all over the place. You can just drive on many main streets and just see them on the side of the road. And it's, I don't know, for me, it's still exciting to see them like that. I saw them, we recently traveled to Mexico City, and it was the same way. People have them as landscape plants, but they're also popping up all over the city.
It's so cool. And it's such a good reminder that it's like, right, these guys like can live outdoors. Everybody chill out with like all the high maintenance care.
Yeah. Started outside.
Right. They can handle like a day or two without water, like, you know, when life mm-hmm. hits you, it's funny. But yeah, it's a good reminder. So what state, so where are you at right now with your indoor collection? How many plants would you say that you have?
You know, I don't have the number. Mm-hmm. I would say I probably have indoors, definitely 50 or so.
Wow.
It's probably higher than that, to be honest. But I also have a covered patio in our backyard.
Oh, nice.
And there's a lot of plants out there. And some of them I will bring in if it gets really cold outside. Or every once in a while, I'll pop one of them in for a photo. But I keep most of my succulents outside because it's so sunny out there. And some of my bigger aroid plants. So I've got a really gigantic philodendron and some big anthuriums. So I have a lot of plants outdoors too.
That's amazing. Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
That's definitely a benefit to living in the South.
Yeah, having the seasons stay pretty consistent weather-wise is great.
Do you feel like being in Tampa versus your other – I mean, I think you mentioned this a little bit, but being in Tampa versus – you said South Carolina?
North Carolina.
Your collection is definitely probably getting more tropical now as you get farther south.
Yeah, and you know, the tropical plants down here are just way less expensive. Mm. They're more readily available and they're grown locally, so I guess it's just easier for the companies who grow plants to sell them in this market than it is to, you know, put them on a semi and send them to the Midwest or something.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, when I go to the plant shops here, I can pick up a Monstera, a good size Monstera deliciosa for $10, $12,
$15. Oh my goodness.
And I know that that's not the same reality for someone who's not close by. So yeah, it's convenience and price and lots of factors go into that.
Wow. I might move to Tampa now.
Yeah.
Well, in the spirit of friendship, I would love to hear the story of you and Erin from Clever Bloom are the creators of Houseplant Club Instagram.
Yeah, we are.
Is so amazing. You guys shine a light on so many different amazing plant parents in the community. Mm-hmm. And you have the coolest way that you met. So I'd love to hear the story as you were developing Planting Pink, how you and Erin connected and actually started this business together.
Sure, yeah. So we had both had our separate accounts, and Erin has a blog as well. I don't have a blog. I just have the Instagram. But both of our Instagram accounts were pretty planty, and I think we just crossed paths at one point, you know, through hashtags or whatever. And so we had followed each other. And at that time, this was about 3 years ago, I had a Pilea peperomioides here in the States.
Oh boy.
And I don't know if I was, you know, one of the only people on Instagram that had one here in the States or what, but they were pretty rare here at that time, even more than they are now. Definitely not available purchasing through any U.S. dealer at that point.
Right.
And Erin just kind of dropped some hints that she would like a Pilea baby. So that was how we became friends. I sent her a Pilea peperomioides plant, And shortly thereafter, she sent me a Serapegia, a string of hearts. And we just started texting about Instagram accounts and then just about life in general, just became friends. And not too long after that, we were just texting back and forth one day about how much fun we have with our Instagram accounts and how much joy they bring us. And we came up with the idea to share that with a community. And we came up with the community hashtag Houseplant Club. And we just started the account. We kind of preloaded it with like 6 or 10 of our own photos. And then this was before Instagram stories too. So just getting the word out was just through our accounts and the people who followed us and people who we followed. So
was it a hashtag first, which then evolved into an account?
We did them at the same time. Okay. So hashtag Houseplant Club didn't have any posts. That was something mm-hmm. that we came up with, and you know, we researched and made sure that there was nothing out there. There was right. like, we were the first to hashtag our pics with Houseplant Club mm-hmm. and we created the account. So we started using it, and then we started seeing our friends use it, and people that we didn't know started using it, and we just have a lot of fun with it. We love finding new accounts who are just starting with sharing their plant love, and as well as, you know, sharing from our Houseplant Club All-Stars who are just, you know, already established in the plant community. We love seeing people's plants, and we love featuring specific plants and rooms full of plants and plant people.
That is so cool. So your friendship started from the friendship plant.
It sure did. It did.
And it's so funny because I've had a friendship start with Alessia at Apartment Botanist the same exact way, through her sharing a Pilea Pilea with me.
Oh, and that's so sweet.
I want to know how many other plant people listeners out there have met people through sharing their Pilea cuttings. I feel like there's an underground market for friendship and Pilea here.
I agree. One time I posted a picture of my Pilea plant, and people often ask me for them. And, you know, I just don't have enough to send to everybody. But then I will see other people comment and say, oh, hey, I have some to share. So, you know, DM me. And so I think people have even become friends off of photos.
Off of your account. That's so beautiful. That's
just because, more people have some to share. And so through Houseplant Club, Erin and I have started a little Etsy shop, and we've got tote bags and t-shirts and stuff with our logo on them. And we have an upcoming project coming out, and I was able to travel out to Portland and see Erin's home, which was really fun because having seen it on Instagram for so long,
oh my gosh,
and then to get to see it in person and just spend time with her and her family, that was a really
special
treat.
Is the first
treat
time
too.
You met like this year, the first time you went to go visit her?
The first time we met, we picked a spot. We met at Missouri Botanical Gardens in St. Louis.
Okay.
This summer. And that was also to work on our project. And then shortly after that, we had to get together again and do a bunch of photos. So we went out to, we picked to go to Portland. It was just easier for Erin because she's got 2 young kids than to travel down here to Florida. So,
totally.
And plus Portland, it was fun because I got to meet some other plant people and put names to faces and just spend time with them. And it was great to become IRL friends.
IRL, plant friends, IRL, hashtag.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And do you want to give us a little teaser for your project?
Sure.
Here's a Blue Mangrove announcement. Listen in.
I wish I could share more, but this is going to be the first time that we're talking about it. We haven't even said anything online yet. But Erin and I did write a book, and it's going to be coming out this year, and there's more info to come.
A Bloom and Grow Radio exclusive.
There you go.
They're writing a book. Well, I'm so excited to see what the two of you guys do, because I bet there's going to be the friendship and the community aspect, I'm sure, will be oozing from anything that you guys create together. And I can't wait to
see
what
you
guys
do. Yeah, we've
had a lot of fun with it. Yeah. Oh, it's so exciting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very cool. So, and another thing with Houseplant Club I love is that you welcome people to it when you do your photos.
Oh, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
Welcome to the Houseplant Club. I love that.
Yeah, we have a very specific formula for our followers. Excuse me, for the people we follow. So Houseplant Club follows everyone that we've featured on our main feed.
Okay.
And so if you ever see that, welcome to the Houseplant Club, that means that that's the first time that we're posting that person's pictures.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute. So say I want to get my photo featured by you guys. What what are you looking for? How am I going to get noticed in order to do that?
Okay, yeah. So first of all, we search the Houseplant Club tag exclusively. So the photo has to be tagged with Houseplant Club, hashtag Houseplant Club. Second, it needs to be your original content. So we only share from the original creator, no matter how good a repost might be. If it's not tagged by Houseplant Club by the original creator, we're not going to post that on our feed. Third is content. And obviously, our content is exclusively houseplants.
Right.
So it's going to be either inside of a house, or sometimes we'll post like from a plant shop that sells houseplants.
Right. But there has to be obviously houseplants featured in the photo.
Right. Yep. And you know, there's lots of great outdoor landscaping plants and that kind of stuff, but we've decided to just go with the houseplants indoors.
Okay.
And that's about it. So those three things. So tagged Houseplant Club has to be tagged Houseplant Club by the original content creator and has to feature prominently houseplants. And beyond that, we're just really looking for great content.
Okay. So this is a perfect place to transition into our how-to section with you, because speaking of content, you are going to give us 5 ideas for having a great planty Instagram feed, because
I am,
you are the queen of the Instagram feed. It seems like every other day people are sending you things to unwrap, or, you know, you're featuring some amazing product. I feel like you are such an amazing plant influencer, and you've built Planting Pink and Houseplant Club. You've built 2 amazing plant focused Instagrams that I would love to interrogate you about your practices.
Thank you. I'm blushing.
For our plant people listeners, because I know a lot of them are looking to build their accounts too.
Sure. Yeah. And of course, I mean, I don't want to put myself up on a pedestal. It's just been very fun for me and organic. And it's been fun to learn as I go.
Yeah. I mean, I'll put you on a pedestal. But yes, your modesty is also incredibly sweet and charming. And I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So from your experience, now you've had Planting Pink for how long?
3 years.
Great. So we're going to get kind of your distilled 3 years of trial and error, I guess, building.
Sure, yeah, fun.
Cool.
Okay, so I'll just hop in, I guess.
Yeah.
My first tip, and this is the number one most important for me, I would say the other 4 that I'll share are kind of, they can all be interchanged as far as place in the lineup goes. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost for me is great lighting.
Yeah.
Because plants need lighting in the first place, I recommend doing daylight photo shoots without flash, and just making sure that whether you're taking a photo on your phone camera phone or on a DSLR or something outside of your phone, that you're monitoring for lighting before snapping the pic. I think having grainy or blurry or shadows that can detract from having a really high quality just image.
And also in terms of editing photos, I feel like it's really not that hard to take a good photo anymore. Like with everybody having smartphones and, you know, whatever cameras that they're using, like editing and figuring out how to put it in any of those editing apps. If you take a photo that maybe doesn't have the best light, but a way to alter the light, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, and even Instagram's
filters and
controls, not necessarily filters, but the control, the when you hit edit, there's like a brightness tool, and I kind of sometimes wonder why Instagram still has filters.
Yeah, right.
I don't see people using them very much anymore.
That's so
remember
true.
The old one with the black frame around it.
Yeah,
I don't remember the names of them, but I think they're still there, aren't they?
Oh my god, that's funny. Yeah, my sister. Shout out to my sister Allie, had an intervention with me when I started Bloom and Grow's Instagram, because I'm not, ironically that I have a podcast and an Instagram account, like I'm not good at technology, so my photos weren't very good. And she was like, Maria, she like came over to my apartment and taught me how to use my iPhone, like editing and stuff. Because
fun.
But it's really not that hard once you figure it out. Okay, so number one exclamation point, lighting and beautiful photos. That's what's going to get you noticed, and that's what's going to get you follows.
Yep, I think so.
All right, cool. Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. So moving on, number two.
So number two for me would be getting to know people. And this is, you know, Instagram is a community, mm-hmm. and this can help you grow your followers. But to me, it's more for finding people to follow. And, you know, if you find somebody great to follow and they follow you back, then you've got, you know, an instant friendship or at least a connection through plants. So get to know people. You can do that in lots of different ways. You can watch people's stories. You can go to the Explore page on Instagram. You can just go through your own feed, comment on pictures that you really like, let people know what you like about their photos, comment back when people comment on your photos, whether they're saying, you know, this is beautiful, say thank you. Or if somebody's asking, like, what plant is this? Or where did you get your pot? Make sure that you interact back with those with people. And another way that I have found new people to follow is going, you know, through comments of the people that I follow and seeing that somebody said, oh, this is so pretty. And then, you know, I see their name maybe is plant related, or their little icon is a plant or something like that. Then, you know, I'll kind of click through on some kind of, on those things and see if that's somebody that either I don't follow yet or I need to get to know.
So engaging with your community. And we're so lucky that the plant community is the nicest. I mean, people really want to talk about their plants online.
Yeah. Yep, they do.
So it's very easy to make plant friends in real life. Hashtag plant friends IRL.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. All it takes is a second to like comment, write, DM, all those good things, or follow or you know, like people's photos.
Yeah, I have found, you know, I've met several people in the Tampa area IRL in real life, just because they have either found me on Instagram and commented that, hey, I live in Tampa too, or I have found them and said, oh, there's a, you know, a local plant shop happening or a local plant sale happening. Let's hit it up together.
That's amazing.
And I've met lots of people that way. So, you just never know. I mean, and you know, not everybody wants to, meet up with people IRL, but, for those who do, it's very easy to do.
Yeah. Right. Of course, no pressure, but right. That's so exciting. Making friends is so fun. okay. So engaging with your community. Great. Number three
is kind of obvious. We're talking about plants. So it's having a theme. And in my case, my theme of my feed is plants. You know how everybody has a little, description, some text description on their Instagram feed. I always kind of want to change mine to say it's plants all the way down. I don't like, cause really if, you know, somebody happens upon my profile and they just start scrolling, it's like, yep, it's plants all right, the way plants. Down. so, you know, if you're not into plants, my feed like probably isn't for you. but yeah, that's my theme. And, it's mostly houseplants, but I will also sometimes, you know, travel to botanical gardens or a local plant shop and try and highlight those kinds of things. But I find that if I'm going to share something a little bit more personal or different than my planty theme, I sometimes will use stories for that. I feel like stories is a way to quickly just share like the small happenings that are, what's going on. Or, like I traveled to Mexico City, or I when I was in St. Louis with Aaron, we used stories to quickly snap and share things from our adventure.
Okay, that's interesting. So you use stories for the more personal...
Mundane? I would say... Yeah, although I guess traveling really can't be called mundane.
I was going to say, none of your Mexico stories look mundane to me.
But yeah, I mean, I guess I use it in a couple of different stories. I use in a couple of different ways.
Yeah, like the one more is just fleeting moments that don't necessarily need to live forever on your Instagram feed. And it's nice that it is more personal, that people actually get to know you a little bit better that way, you know?
Yeah, I think, since my theme on my feed is just plants and rarely does my face make an appearance, I can, you know, show that voice through my stories.
Yeah, I actually, now that you're putting it that way, because I've been following you for a while and you're never in your actual photos. And when I started watching your story...
There's a few.
Yeah, there's a few, but, you know, you do focus on your plants in most of your feed. Mm-hmm. And then when you started doing like tours of your house or like putting different plant prints up or like making your pillows or whatever, and hearing your voice definitely felt like getting to know it. It definitely felt more personal and getting to know you.
Yeah. It's another layer. Yeah.
Should you choose to invite people in that way?
Right. And it goes back to number two, which was get to know people.
Yeah.
you know, somebody's feed might not necessarily let you get to know them. Although some people have really great voice mm-hmm. on their feed, and you can really get to know them that way too. So it just kind of depends on how your personality comes through.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, in the plant community, in terms of theme, some people have, like, hyper plant themes, like plants with cats, or boys with plants, or mm-hmm. girls with plants, or...
Or some people have set up just an account for, like, their ficus tree.
Or orchids.
Yeah, or
And I feel like the more specific you get, the more someone will want to follow, because I'll click that orchid account, because I'm going to want to learn specifically about orchids. And if this person is the orchid specialist, then they're going to give me great content, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So far we have great lighting, engage with your community, and pick a theme that highlights your unique voice.
So next for me, this is, and this might not be necessary for everybody, but I work a somewhat 9-to-5 job. So for me, I take pictures in advance.
Okay.
So the lighting isn't always great at, you know, 6 o'clock at night when I'm done with work. Mm-hmm. So I preload a lot of my photos on the weekend. I take a lot of photos on the weekend. I don't work on the weekends. So I don't ever want to put myself into a place where I feel like, oh, I really want to post a picture, but I don't have anything to post. So and I do post once a day, every single day in the morning time. And that's just the formula that I've come up with. I like to have a post every single day. It's my way to engage. And so in order to do that, I have found the best way for me is to take some photos in advance.
That's smart to stock up. Because a lot of these Instagram accounts are hobby Instagram accounts or side hustle Instagram accounts where you are working a full 9-to-5. I mean, I think most of the people I have interviewed on the show have not 9-to-5s.
Yeah. And I think not, you know, definitely not everybody mm-hmm. does. Like, for example, sometimes on my lunch break, I work from home.
Oh, nice.
So
okay.
I'm in the house and able to, you know, see the plants all day long. But when I'm not working, like during a work day at lunch, you know, I have an hour at lunch. Sometimes I'll take a quick photo or two because, you know, lighting is really great usually right around that time of day. But that's not necessarily when I post to Instagram. I usually post to Instagram before work. I plan to take photos in advance, and it really works for me. I like
that. Yeah, that's smart because then you're never going to feel rushed or stressed. And then that takes the fun out of posting and sharing your photos.
Yeah.
You can take the time.
Instagram's all about having fun for me. And so, yeah, if it ever got to a point where it wasn't fun, I probably would dwindle away. But yeah, I think it also gives you time to look through all of the photos that you take. I tend to take, you know, probably 50 photos for every one that ends up on my Instagram feed. So that might be an exaggeration, but you know, I take a lot more than I post from different angles and just making sure that lighting is on point. And so that, you know, if you take them in advance, you have time then to cycle through them. And you know, if you're going to do any post editing on them, which I tend not to do, but if, you know, a lot of people do and they find that that's fun for them, you know, a lot of hobbyists like to make sure that every shadow is perfect. And I think that that can be a stress-free hobby.
Totally. Have you ever used one of those apps that times and posts photos for you?
Yeah, we did try that out once for Houseplant Club, when I went on a cruise. So I preloaded my week's worth of photos that I wanted posted on the Houseplant Club feed. And then Erin posted them herself. So I think, from what I know, I think if you want to actually have an app or a third party thing actually post to your feed without any intervention, like without somebody pressing a button on an app, I think those are usually paid subscriptions. Right. But we did use an app that allowed you to, I think it would send a reminder to Erin saying, oh, it's time. This photo was timed to be posted now. And then she would just have to log into that and then post it. But it allows you to preload a caption and all that kind of stuff. So that was, it was useful while I was away.
Do you remember the name of that app?
That one was Later.
All right, cool. For anyone interested in trying that out. All right, great. So make sure you have a good stockpile of photos so you never get stressed to post. And last but not least, number five.
Number five is just show up. This is something that I use not only in Instagram, but basically in my whole life. I think that this is a good motto to live by, showing up and spending time in the hobby and putting yourself out there. You know, sometimes you take a picture and you think, I don't know if this is great for Instagram, but you know, put yourself out there and see how it goes. It's just an app and you can't go wrong, really.
Totally.
Once you know the rules, you can break them. So if you've got a photo and you don't really think it's the greatest lighting, but you love it, hey, I think you should right. post it. It's a way of being, I guess. And you can use it on Instagram in lots of different ways. You can show up with new content. You can show up with the same content in a new way. There's lots of ways to do it, but I just think that interacting with people and putting your best foot forward is the best way to be on Instagram and everywhere else.
I love that, Morgan. That was awesome. Show up. Show up on Instagram and show up in your life. And then I have to ask, because I'm sure this is the burning question. So in terms of growing your followers and getting mm-hmm. to, I think right now you have like 58,000 followers or something crazy. I think more on your.
It is crazy.
It is remarkable. What's your advice for someone who, you know, is just starting out and wants to ultimately get to where you are, but just needs to figure out how to grow their account?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, we all started there, and I would say showing up is a big part of growing both the people that you follow and your followers. Mm-hmm. People want to get to know you. I think that Instagram is a place to connect with people. And so if you're constantly showing up, for me, I post once a day in the morning. And so that's another way that I just show up. And so I show up then in somebody's feed.
I love that you're showing up for yourself, but you're also showing up literally on a feed.
Right. That's yeah. good. So then you show up in the explore page sometimes. So if somebody has a hashtag that they follow, but they don't necessarily follow you yet, you might then show up in their explore page and they can find you there.
So there we have it. Your five tips for having a kick-ass plant feed. Great lighting, yep. beautiful photos, engage in your community. I think another thing with the followers is following people and liking people's photos, because then people will follow and like you back.
Yeah, I think that seeing that you're engaging with the community mm-hmm. and commenting on other people's photos just means that you're an active user, and it's just another way for you to show up and let people know what you're about. Like, I'm all about positivity. I want to build people up. And so, you know, you won't find me making fun of somebody's photos mm. or anything like that on
you're
Instagram.
Not a hater.
That's just not
yeah,
who I
you're
am.
Not a
right,
hater.
Yeah. But, you know, there's people out there that have totally made a killing off of having that kind of right. voice, and more power to them. But, you know, showing up in your own personal style is my recommendation.
Totally. I love that. So that was community. Finding a theme true to yourself, loading up on your content in advance so you're not stressed, and showing up for yourself and literally showing up on Instagram. I love that.
Yeah.
So helpful. And how I want to leave off is I want to read a quote that I am in love with from the bio that you sent me. And you say, when you describe yourself, plants bring peace into my life as a constant reminder to be patient and wild.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how you came up with that and how it like rings true to you?
Yeah, I mean, so people are very idiosyncratic, you know, like we all have our own crosses to bear and blessings to give. And I think that to just put somebody like, you know, I have this planty Instagram account, but there's more to me than that. And I think sharing that I like to be peaceful and wild at the same time can sort of make no sense, but all the sense in the world. You know, I've been reading a lot. And when I was in Mexico City, I visited the Museum of Frida Kahlo. And she was a woman of many talents, and she had a lot going on in her life as well. Lots of struggles, lots of internal pain, but also she just brought a lot of joy to the world. And she still is to this day. And so I think plants for me, they just it's just my way of being able right now to connect with a lot of different people, but also personally, they do bring me, they bring me peace. They you know, I like tending to them. I like taking care of them, watching them flourish. And when they flourish, they get wild. And, you know, my Monstera can sit peacefully in my living room. And I think of, when I think of plants, I think of patience. They, you know, they sit solitary and in one place, and they grow slowly, but mm-hmm. then they just bring this amazing beauty into a home or into the place that they're in. Like we were talking about how when I watch all of my Monstera leaves unfurl, every single one for me is a miracle. It's just, it's crazy and wild and beautiful, but slow and patient and peaceful at the same time.
Oh my goodness. And I am crying.
Deep. We got deep.
Deep on Bloom and Grow Radio. Those are my favorite moments in these beautiful plant chats I get to have with people, is how deep this runs and how profoundly plants can impact you.
Yeah, for sure.
And enrich your life. It's so special. It's so beyond an Instagram account. It's so beyond a beautiful photo, you know?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it really is a way of life. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm traveling, I set my sights on local botanical gardens or whether or not I can find a cool plant shop to visit. And my favorite things to bring home from my travels are plant pots and plants. And they always have a story behind them. And so it really is a way of life.
So special. Thank you so much for sharing all of this beautiful, beautiful insight with us. I'm so thankful for your time.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks again for having a listen today. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Bloom and Grow Radio on iTunes and leave us a review. If you want to follow the Bloom and Grow journey and are interested in more plant tips, give us a follow on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio and visit www.bloomandgrowradio.com to join the email list. And please let me know what you want to hear in the future episodes. I'm here to help you keep blooming and keep growing.
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group. So if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up, so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, Plant Friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.